Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam affirms this. Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prishada leshanu grihita evahi. Janati tattam bhagavan mahim no nachanya ekopi charimbachinram. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. So a minute ago, Prabhupada mentioned Brahma Sanhita. And there, in the Brahma Sanhita, Lord Brahma says, what's that verse? Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Ananta, Rupam, Adyam, Purana, Purusham, Navayovanam cha. And then he says, Vedeshu Dulabham Adulabham Atma Bhakto Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So he describes in detail in all those different words, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, he describes so many aspects of the original personality of Godhead. But then he says, Vedeshu Dulabham Adulabham Atma Bhakto. Those people who are simply engaged in speculation upon the Vedic literatures, they'll never be able to understand you. He says, Vedeshu Dulabha. Just like in the previous verse, one of the previous verses, we read, Samahatma Sadulabha. Dulabha meaning very difficult. So he says, Vedeshu Dulabha Adulabha Atma Bhakto. So a person who's simply speculating in the Vedic literatures, it'll be most difficult for him to understand the original form of the personality of Godhead. But if a person has pure devotion of the soul, Atma Bhakto, then very easily he can understand. Because by having that devotion, the Lord will bestow his mercy upon him. Okay, so where are we now? All right. So Krishna has described two other varieties of people who will find it very difficult to understand him. So then, in the next verse, Krishna is explaining why these people won't be able to understand him. The point comes up that his, again, like he was saying earlier in the chapter, he's everything, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, they're all eternal. And so why can't people see the Lord? So in text number 25, he answers that question. He says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudo yam nabijanati lokomam ajam avyayam. He says, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So here he says, yoga maya samavrita. He says that people cannot understand me because I'm covered by my yoga maya potency. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that when Krishna came here 5,000 years ago, hardly any people really understood who he was. For example, he says here, it may be argued that since Krishna was present on this earth and was visible to everyone, then why isn't he manifest to everyone now? But actually, he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of the Kurus, when Shishupal spoke against Krishna's being elected the president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him, meaning Krishna, to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and to the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasures. But to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. So that internal potency is the Lord's Yogamaya potency. And it's an interesting thing that Yogamaya will keep everyone who is not fully surrendered into the Lord from actually being able to perceive him. So then a question comes up, that this Yogamaya is deluding everyone, that people can't understand the Lord in his original form. So the question arises, and what is the question? Question is placed, if this Yogamaya is deluding all the living entities, does Krishna ever become deluded? So a question may be there. Somebody may say, well, does Krishna ever become deluded? And so Krishna answers that in the next verse, in text number 26. He gives an answer to that question. He says, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna vishani bhutani mam tu vedana kaschana. It says, O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows. So Krishna is making the point that although the living entities, his parts and parcels, they may become covered, but he's emphatically stating here that Krishna, neither Krishna nor his knowledge ever becomes covered in any way by the material nature. Srila Prabhupada, he makes the point here. He says, why is it the living entities become covered, and why is it that Krishna never becomes covered? Or it's like the statement that Krishna makes in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita when he speaks to Arjuna. He says, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you can't. So why is it that Krishna can remember all of them, but Arjuna can't? The answer that Prabhupada gives is that Krishna can remember everything because his body never changes. But the living entities, they're changing their bodies. So in the same way here, he says that the Lord, he never becomes covered because his body is eternal and his body never changes. So Krishna will, unlike the living entity, Krishna will never fall under the influence of Maya. So then in text number 27, the question comes up. So in 25, he said the living entities, he said they can't understand his form and qualities because they're deluded by the Yogamaya potency. And then in 26, Krishna says, I'm never deluded in any way. My knowledge never becomes covered. But then in 27, the question comes up, why is it that the living entities do become covered? Why do they become bewildered? So in text number 27, Krishna says, Ichidvesha samutena dandamohena bharata sarvabhutani samoham sargayanti parantapa. The translation, O Sena Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. So we'll read the purport. The real constitution of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate and can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's also stated that this verse, it gives us a vision why that Gyani Bhakta, or that Jnana Bhakta, is such a rare personality. Because he's beyond, his vision or his understanding is actually beyond the dualities of material life. As long as one is situated in the dualities of desire and hate, as Prabhupada was saying here, my house, my wife, my this, my that, my the other, it's impossible for him to develop the vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then, text number 28. So, 25, he said, why is it that people are bewildered? He said, the yoga maya. 26, I will never come under influence of any types of bewilderment. 27, how and why? And he says it's because of desire and hatred. And then in 28, he explains how those souls who are conditioned within this world can become freed. So he says, Yesham Pantakatam Papam Jananam Punyakarmanam Te Dwanda Mohanir Mukta Bhajanti Mam Dridha Vrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So here we'll read the purport also. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. Those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, for those who have these qualities, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously, and who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then gradually, they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. For in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from all illusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees, mahat seva dwara mahur vimukte. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence, tamo dwaram yositam sangi sangam. All the devotees of the Lord, now this is a very nice point that Prabhupada makes here. I mean, all the points are nice, of course, but Prabhupada puts this line in the purport. He says, all the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service. So here Krishna gives the qualifications for people becoming freed. And he says, Yesham Tvantakatam Papam. He says, those who people whose sin is completely eradicated. no longer engaging in any sinful activities. Dhananam punyakarmanam. He says, and people who have performed previous pious activities, persons who have acted piously in previous lives and this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated or freed from these dualities. So Prabhupada covers that in the first paragraph of the purport, but in the second paragraph he hits on the point of how one can actually come to that position. And the point that he makes is through sadhu sangha, through engaging in service to sadhus. And he quotes the verse from the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, and there he says, Mahat seva dvara mahurvi muktes, that by serving mahats, or by serving pure devotees of the Lord, then the gates to liberation are opened. So it's a very important point. And then Prabhupada says that devotees of the Lord, actual mahatmas, their business is they just travel throughout the world to recover conditioned souls from their delusion of material life. So then text number 29, Krishna, he describes the Yoga Mishra Bhakta, and he explains, well, he explains actually how one will become free from birth and death. Jara marana mokshaya mam astitya yatantite te brahma tadbidu krishnam adyatmam karma chakilam. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about the transcendental activities. So we'll read this purport also. Birth, death, old age, and diseases affect this material body but not the spiritual soul. There is no birth, death, old age, and disease for the spiritual body. So one who attains the spiritual body becomes one of the associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engages in eternal devotional service, he is actually liberated. Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit. It is said that one should understand that he is Brahman, spirit soul. This Brahman conception of life is also in Brahman conception of life is also in devotional service as described in this verse. The pure devotees are transcendently situated on the Brahman platform and they know everything about transcendental activities. In the 18th chapter of Gita, Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangsati Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. And when the transcendentalist comes to the transcendental platform, or he comes to the Brahma Bhuta, from that position he can engage in transcendental service to the form of the Personality of Godhead. Four kinds of impure devotees who engage themselves in transcendental service to the Lord achieve their respective goals. And by the grace of the Supreme Lord, when they are fully Krishna conscious, they actually enjoy spiritual association with the Supreme Lord. But those who are worshippers of demigods never reach the Supreme Lord and His Supreme Planet. Even the less intelligent, Brahman-realized persons cannot reach the Supreme Planet of Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan. Only persons who perform activities in Krishna consciousness, mam asritya, are actually entitled to be called Brahman because they are actually endeavoring to reach the Krishna planet. Such persons have no misgivings about Krishna and thus they are factually Brahman. So he's describing the position of the person who is that yogi who is actually endeavoring for perfection, and he says that they take full. This is the important key in this verse. He says, mam asitya yatantite. They take full refuge in me by engaging in activities of devotional service. So then, in the last verse of the chapter, text 30, he explains how is it that those yogis or transcendentalists can actually know him at the time of death. So he says, sadi bhutadi devam mam, sadi yajyam chaye vidu, prayana kalipi chamam te vidur yukta chetasa. He says, those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of all material manifestation, of the demigods, and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. So he explains that if we want to know the Lord at the time of death, then our consciousness must be trained in understanding him in different ways. And he primarily points out three different aspects in which we have to understand the Lord here. First, he says, Adibhutam. And Adibhuta means that the Lord is the governing principle of the material manifestation. And then he says, Adidevam. We have to understand that the Lord is the governing principle as well of all of the demigods that exist. And then Adijagya, he says that we have to understand that the Lord is the governing principle of all sacrifices. And if the devotee becomes fixed, if the transcendentalist will become fixed in that understanding, then he'll be able to understand the Lord at the time of death. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, persons acting in Krishna consciousness are never deviated from the path of entirely understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the transcendental association of Krishna consciousness, one can understand how the Supreme Lord is the governing principle of the material manifestation and even of the demigods. Gradually, by such transcendental association, one becomes convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and at the time of death, such a Krishna conscious person can never forget Krishna. Naturally, he is thus promoted to the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. Then Prabhupada gives a summary of this chapter of the Gita. The seventh chapter particularly explains how one can become a fully Krishna conscious person. The beginning of Krishna consciousness is association of persons who are Krishna conscious. Such association is spiritual and puts one directly in touch with the Supreme Lord, and by his grace, one can understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This last verse, next to the last verse, that text number 28, when he says, Yesham Tantikatam Papam, the points that Prabhupada were covering in the purport, it reminded me of that one song, this E Bharo Koruna Koro Vaishnava Gosai. I believe it's that song, in which the author of the song is glorifying the qualities of a pure Vaishnava. And one of the qualities of the pure Vaishnava, he says, is that simply by having your association, sins fly away from my heart. Just by associating with you, by having your darshan, very quickly all my misqualifications go away. So he says, here, where were we? At the same time, one can really understand the constitutional position of the living entity and how the living entity forgets Krishna and becomes entangled in material activities. By gradual development of Krishna consciousness in good association, the living entity can understand that due to forgetfulness of Krishna, he has become conditioned by the laws of material nature. He can also understand that this human form of life is an opportunity to regain Krishna consciousness and that it should be fully utilized to attain the causeless mercy of the Lord. Many subjects have been discussed in this chapter: the man in distress, the inquisitive man, the man in want of material necessities, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of Paramatma, liberation from birth, death, and diseases, and worship of the Supreme Lord. However, he who is actually elevated in Krishna consciousness does not care for the different processes. He simply directly engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and thereby factually attains his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Lord Krishna. In such a situation, he takes pleasure in hearing and glorifying the Supreme Lord in pure devotional service. He is convinced that by doing so, all of his objectives will be fulfilled. This determined faith is called Dridha Vrata, and it is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga, or transcendental loving service. This is the verdict of all scriptures. The seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita is the substance of that conviction. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport, the seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in the matter of knowledge of the Absolute. So once again today, just in summary, we have a couple minutes, the points that we touched on. We had to move a little fast today because yesterday we got carried away a little bit. So today, the Lord, He mentioned that the question again came up, you know, how long will it take for that Jnana Bhakta to achieve perfection and come to the position of being a Prema Bhakta? And the Lord, He said, after many, many births and deaths within this world, He says, when one will see Vasudeva as being the source of everything, then He says, such a great soul is very rare. And then He describes today two more varieties of men who won't surrender. And the first variety of person are the demigod worshippers. And Krishna condemns them. He says that their knowledge is stolen and they have a very small understanding, weak brains. And then more than that, Krishna, he emphatically condemns the worshipper or those people who are the impersonalists. So first He condemns the demigod worshippers, then He condemns the impersonalists, and then He explains why is it that people are bewildered. And He explains that people are bewildered because they're under the influence of my yoga maya potency. And then He explains that I will never come under the influence of any type deluding potency. He says, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows. Then He explains actually why the living entities become bewildered. And He says, because they come under the influence of duality and material nature. And then He explains the position that one must come to if one desires to become fully Krishna conscious. And He says that one must become freed from all sinful life. The verse is, people who have acted piously in previous lives and this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. And then He explains the actual position, the last two verses, He actually explains the position of the real transcendentalists. He says, intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation, they take shelter of me by engaging in devotional service. And then He says that they are actually Brahman because they know everything about transcendental activities. And then He concludes, last verse in the chapter, He says, three points one must understand. Right, the whole chapter is called Knowledge of the Absolute. And then He concludes by saying, and after cultivation of this knowledge, if you actually want to have your consciousness fixed in me at the time of death, the knowledge that you have to cultivate is like this. And He says, you have to understand that I am the governing principle behind the entire material cosmic manifestation. That it's all going on under my direction. He says, you have to understand that I'm the governing principle of all the demigods. And He says, you have to understand that I'm the governing principle of all sacrifice. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a statement by Krishna where he says that he won't give us things that will be impediments for our advancement in devotional service. So many material things we need just to exist in this world. We need food, we need the roof on our head, we need clothes on our back. We have requirements in that way. But there's one section of Chaitanya Charitamrita in which Kaviraj Goswami, actually Kaviraj Goswami is paraphrasing Krishna. And he says that if a person, if he's wanting material things, if he has big desires for material things, and he wants spiritual life at the same time, he says he's a foolish person. He says he's a fool. And then Krishna uses the word, he says, amibhigya. And that amibhigya, it means, but I'm smarter than they are. I'm more intelligent than they are. So what I will do is I will let them come to me with their material desires, but then I'll engage them in service, and I'll purify them. He said, that's like Krishna's mentality. It's sort of like he's laughing, and he's saying, they will come to me with so many material aspirations, but simply by engaging in my service, I'll purify them, and then they'll no longer have those desires. So we often read, and it's often said, that Krishna is not going to give his devotees the fulfillment of any desire which is going to impede his advancement in devotional service. Therefore, Lord Krishna is known as Hari. And it means that sometimes Krishna will take things away from the devotees instead of fulfilling those desires. Like the example of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was working so diligently for the maintenance of his family. And Srila Prabhupada, he was quoted as saying that he could have become one of the most prosperous businessmen in North India. He said, but then Krishna, instead of like fulfilling desires in that way, Krishna took things away from him so that he could actually fulfill his spiritual mission in life. So what happened? Srila Prabhupada was traveling. And then Srila Prabhupada got that famous telegram. And the telegram said that your business has failed and that servants have stolen everything and there's no stock left behind and everything is gone and everything is ruined. Now, because Srila Prabhupada is the pure devotee of the Lord, how did he look upon that? He saw that was Krishna, and that Krishna was taking things away from him that would have been an impediment for his advancement in devotional service. So Prabhupada, he just smiled. And he welcomed that type of response from the Lord. So Krishna will act in that way. If something is going to impede us, if something is going to keep us from advancing, then Krishna will take that away from his devotee or not fulfill that desire. Yes, sir. Srila Prabhupada oftentimes he would say that there are different ways of becoming perfect. Sometimes he would speak of the Kripa Siddha. Sometimes he would speak of the Sadhana Siddha and the Nitya Siddha. And the Nitya Siddha is the eternally perfect soul. And Sadhana Siddha is a person who will perform he'll perform the sadhana given to him by a spiritual master. And Kripa Siddha is the person who just has mercy bestowed upon him. So Srila Prabhupada would compare that Kripa Siddha to like sometimes when the person goes to the university, say a lecturer. Like the other day somebody was asking me, Shivaram Swami was saying, whatever happened to Gorbachev? Because Gorbachev was such a big man in Russia a few years back, and he presented this idea of glasnost and perestroika. He said, what happened to Gorbachev? What's he doing now? Because we never hear about him. But I'd read about Gorbachev, and what he does now is he just tours throughout the world, and he's invited to different universities as a lecturer. And then many times when he goes to the university, they will confer upon him like the honorary doctorate of philosophy, or doctorate of sociology, or doctorate of this or that or the other. So it's a rare thing. It can happen, but it's a rare thing. And Srila Prabhupada always made that point also, that it's a rare thing. So the point is, we have to chant our 16 rounds, and we have to read the books, but it seems like a very, very serious endeavor, and the cultivation of devotional service must be there. And the cultivation of the activities of giving pleasure to Krishna, and the cultivation of the activities of actually getting such a deep and profound taste for Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami says, Anyadi lasita sunyam jnana karmadya navritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhakti uttama. He describes uttama bhakti as a cultivation of activities that are favorable to Krishna's pleasure. So, in my understanding, it seems that we must make a very, very serious endeavor to actually go deeply into Srila Prabhupada's books and to understand the information which is there. Now, Srila Prabhupada, we understand Srila Prabhupada's instructions that we should chant 16 rounds. What does chanting 16 rounds actually mean? And to chant 16 rounds, Prabhupada would say, offenselessly. How to chant offenseless rounds? How to chant rounds with our minds fixed on the Maha Mantra? How to hear clearly the Maha Mantra? You know, ultimately, by chanting those rounds, you know, and becoming free from all offensive behavior, chanting impurity, to enter in like an understanding of Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, a pure understanding. So it's a great, massive endeavor that we have to perform in Krishna consciousness. So two things are required. And Srila Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he would use the instance of the Damodar Leela to make his point. And the instance of the Damodar Leela is that Mother Jasoda, Krishna was naughty, and so Mother Jasoda, she decided she was going to chastise the boy. And first she had to run only to catch him, and then she started trying to bind his waist with the ropes, but regardless of how many ropes she put together, the ropes wouldn't join. And Srila Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that always it was two fingers too short. And so Mother Jasoda, she was making so much endeavor on behalf of Krishna, and Krishna, her son, is there before, and he's looking all frightened at his mother, you know, which is something I think is in Queen Kunti's prayer. She said, this is something phenomenal I can't understand, because you're the source of everything that exists, and still you're showing fear in the presence of your mother. But he's observing his mother, and she's making so much endeavor, and she's crying, and her hair is falling, and she's sweating, and everything, and she's crying, Krishna, Krishna. And then finally he goes, okay. Because he can see that she's making a massive endeavor in relation to him. And then he says, all right, and he bestows his mercy, like that. So those are the two fingers that Srila Bishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur was saying the rope was too short. One indicates the intense endeavor of the devotee in devotional service. And then the other finger, it represents the mercy of the Lord Himself. So we have to make intense endeavor in fixing our mind on the Lord and engaging in the Lord's service. Now, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's presented another aspect. He's presented an aspect by which we can fix our mind on him, and that's by spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. So we fix our mind on those activities also, but we should observe the activities of our acharya, observe the activities of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, his whole life, he studied Bhagavad Gita and he studied Srimad Bhagavatam. He was a great scholar. I mean, not to say he was a scholar in any sort of material way, but Prabhupada, he understood these shastras so much that he could write commentaries on these shastras. He has such in-depth understanding. He's written commentary on Gita, he's written his commentary on Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master. You know, how much deep endeavor he made in going into the Shastra and actually presenting Shastra to open our eyes. Or all of our acharyas, they've made that very, very deep endeavor to actually understand Krishna consciousness through the Shastra. And in preaching Krishna consciousness. So we can chant 16 rounds and we can read his books, but just to say chant 16 rounds and read the books, that's like the tip of the iceberg. But beneath that, there's so much. How to chant, the endeavor that it takes to chant purely, and the endeavor to actually understand Bhagavad Gita and to understand Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada said, if we can even have realization of one word of these books, then Krishna will reveal himself to us. So it's a great and it's a massive endeavor that we have to undergo. But that endeavor becomes very wonderful in the association of devotees. It becomes relishable, and Krishna becomes knowable in the association of the devotees. Just like that verse from the third canto, wherein Kapila Deva says that my glories can be known in Vaishnava association, in the association of pure devotees of the Lord, for Sangam. He says, in the powerful association of pure devotees, then my glories can be understood. And those glories, hearing them very rapidly, it will put you on the path of pure devotional service. And then it will open within your heart the whole process of bhakti. It will bring you to the position of Shraddha, and then it will take you to the perfectional stage of bhav bhakti, and then to the position of prema bhakti. So chant 16 rounds and read the books. It's a good statement, but we have to be very serious about that, and we have to do those activities with great concentration. And then engage in all of our other activities as well, you know, the activities of spreading the mercy of Krishna consciousness. So it's a big endeavor, a very big endeavor. Yes, sir.
But
Yeah, you're clear. According to the description that Krishna gives, he says that in so many different births that they take within the world, they change their bodies. Sometimes an associate will appear as one form in Krishna Loka and will appear in another form within this material world. And at a certain point, like sometimes we have in the lives of our acharyas, they don't manifest or they don't show, say, divine consciousness. Like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he always describes himself, he describes himself as like being a person who was mad after knowledge. As though he was studying literature, and he was studying English literature and Greek literature and so many different things, and he studied the Bible and whatnot. And then at a certain point, when he came in contact with pure devotees and he came in contact with Bhagavatam and with Chaitanya Charitamrita,